church out of church, man. Louis now said, we're holding all the work, yeah. What you know about that?
Hey guys, welcome to Season 4, Episode 8 of Vol Nation's Power T Talk. This might sound a little bit different at the warm-up here. Daniel usually does the introduction. Daniel's actually not on this episode. He actually has a life outside of this, unlike me. He is working on his doctorate degree, so he gets a little backed up here and there. And this week, with the late game on Monday, he wasn't really able to clear time this week to join us, which is perfectly fine. We understand that. He'll be back with us Sunday doing our Florida game review. So it's going to be me today. I will forewarn you here, there is going to be some weird stop and starts, just trying to catch my breath, get a drink, things like that. I will be a little bit slower than I normally am. But we're going to do about an hour today, get that going, get a podcast up. We'll talk about Georgia Tech. I've got some outlines here. We're going to do quick twitch. We're going to do some review on the defense, see exactly what happened. Was it Georgia Tech that good? Was Tennessee that bad? We'll kind of go through that there, and then we'll talk about some of the big stars that emerged. Daniel Batuli, Marquez Callaway. I thought John Kelly had a great game. We'll talk about him a little bit. So what we're going to do here is have John Ward run us through the tee. We'll go ahead and get started.
You can hear the crescendo of the cheering volunteer fans rising to the tumult as Tennessee comes racing onto the football field. Wherever you listen, ladies and gentlemen, at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's football time in Tennessee.
All right, so obviously the big thing taking away from this weekend is the quarterback. A guy makes his first start. That's going to be the talk of the town. What did the quarterback do? How did he play? How did he do in adverse situations? So let's talk about Quinn Dormady and how he played here. I thought he had a rough first half. You know, didn't look on rhythm, looked a little hesitant, didn't really do well under pressure, but he did have 6 first half drops. Wolf dropped one. There was a drop by Jennings that would have been a first down. I believe Tyler Bird had a super easy slant route on a great play designed by Larry Scott that he dropped in the first quarter. Had Bird held on, that would have been a big play. That was a big drop there, kind of. I think it was on 2nd and 10, got Tennessee behind off schedule. So he did have some of his teammates didn't help him. The first quarter, the offensive line was bad. Marcus Tame got blown up multiple times. But I thought he did a nice job coming back in the second quarter with the pressure. It looked like he recognized the blitzes that they were doing. They weren't doing much blitzing, but looked like he recognized that the coverage that they were doing, the 8, dropping 8, bringing 3, got a little more comfortable in the second half. He played much better. I thought he did a nice job spreading the ball around. He targeted Brandon Johnson a little too much, I believe, but I really liked what I saw. He didn't really focus on one guy. He got the ball to Kelly, got the ball to Wolf, targeted Jennings a few times before Jennings went out with injury, and then he found Marquez Callaway, 4 targets, 4 catches. You'll take that efficiency all day. What I really like is his release. Very quick release. He's got a strong arm. He didn't really get to show it off too much in this game, but you saw the pass to Wolf in the second half. He missed just by a hair, just needed a tad more air under it, and it would have been a big play, but you saw the arm strength. It was accurate. It was on time. Then the play, the Marquez Callaway, wasn't an easy throw. Maybe wasn't the best idea for a throw, throwing into double coverage like that, but Callaway high point the ball and got it. So I was really happy to see that. They weren't afraid to try him deep. I thought he showed a good job on rollouts, throwing the ball in rollouts. They moved him out of the pocket a couple times. I really liked what I saw there. I was impressed with how comfortable he looked. He made a nice rollout to John Kelly for a first down. He also had hit Ethan Wolf. I don't know if it was a first down, but it was close to a first down. It was a big play that he hit him on a rollout going to his left. It was on third down. It was for a first down. So that was a really nice throw there by Dormady. And then I loved the throw he made to Callaway for the first touchdown. On point, right where his receiver can make a play, throwing from the left hash to the far right side of the end zone. That is not an easy throw. I really like that. I was concerned with the fact, like, he looked that he was bailing on his throws under pressure. He didn't step into his throws. Looked like he was leaning back a little bit, relying on his arm strength. That could be a couple things. That could just be first game jitters. That could be not trusting his footwork yet. He didn't do it as much in the second half, but in the first half, he definitely did. So he needs to make sure that he cleans that up. That's something that can't happen. He's going to have to learn to stand high in the pocket, step into his throws, and make those big-time plays, because Tennessee's going to need him to. I think the biggest takeaway from Dormady was how calm he was. Tennessee was down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, didn't panic. They didn't really have a good drive in the first half. They forced a turnover and scored after a big John Kelly run. He didn't look nervous at all. He did a great job calming the team. He was a good influence. He never panicked on the sidelines. I thought it was a very impressive job by him, leading Tennessee to the game-tying touchdown in the fourth quarter, 95-yard drive. And yeah, it was a big play, aided by great play by Callaway, but he got the ball there. The coaches trusted him to make that throw, and he made it, and it was a big play. And he did a great job not turning the ball over. He didn't take a sack. He didn't have a turnover. He made a couple nice runs for a significant yardage on first down with a read option. He only did it twice. He just needs to do it 2 to 4 times per game just to let the defense have that threat. So I liked seeing that. I think he did a nice job on third down. He had 2 or 3 drops on third down, and Tennessee would have better conversion rate. 5 of 12 is not good, but that should have been 7, 8 of 12 with all the drops. 5 for 5 in the red zone. Yeah, that was John Kelly. You know, John Kelly and the offensive line, especially late. But you love seeing a guy be perfect with a 100% touchdown percentage in the end zone. Directed the offense well and got the W. I like what I see from him. I still believe he's going to have a really good year. We're not there yet, but it's still early in the season. I liked what I saw from Dormady today. Going to the defense. Obviously, not good. It was not what you wanted as a Vol fan. 655 total yards. We know a ton of that was rushing. 535 of it. That just can't happen. And Georgia Tech had the ball for 41 minutes of the game. You knew they were going to probably win the time of possession. That's how Georgia Tech plays. But it was a concern that Tennessee could not stop them on third down. Georgia Tech was 13 of 18 on third down. And honestly, I know there was a drop pass, and then Matthew Jordan came in for a couple plays when Marshall got hurt. That kind of bailed Tennessee out. I think Taquan Marshall was a lot better than anyone expected, and that was a little bit of a surprise, but you still cannot allow 250 rush yards to the quarterback, even with a long. I mean, his long was only 28. That just can't happen. That's not something Tennessee should be priding themselves on. The defensive tackles played poorly. Khalil McKenzie did not get a good inside push all game. Kendall Vickers did not get a good interior push all game. I know the game plan was to play a yard off and avoid cut blocks. I get that. I don't even think that's necessarily a bad strategy. But I was very disappointed that neither guy got interior pressure, got any penetration up front at any point during the game, really. It was very frustrating to watch. And I think they're better than that. It's a funky offense. I get it. But we have to do a better job there of getting interior pressure and being disruptive in the middle. Got to have better tackles. Got to have some tackles for loss from that position. We haven't. And McKenzie and Vickers are both good enough to be disruptive. They have to step their games up. I did not like what I saw from Colton Jumper. I thought it was a struggle. I know he had 18 tackles. Only 3 were solo. I know the box score looked good for him, but it was not. He struggled all game getting to the outside, sticking with Taquan Marshall, who picked him apart. They attacked him after the first quarter. That was the game plan. Attack Colton Jumper, and that's what they did, and it worked great. He struggled all game. I know you're supposed to play assignment football, but he still looked bad. He didn't make plays. Nigel Warrior looked bad on a couple of those where he stuck with his man and Colton Jumper was nowhere to be found. And I know this is kind of like the Vol Nation hot take to rag on Colton Jumper. And, you know, I understand he plays hard. He gets the guys lined up and whatnot. But this is not a game where you can afford lack of athleticism. You need a guy who's going to be a surefire tackler and who can make plays sideline to sideline. And he didn't. But Tuli and McDowell both looked better than him. And they just attacked him up the middle. And Butch Jones today said that he felt Patullo was going to play more Mike linebacker, and that's how it should be. Jumper should just be a backup and a special teams player. It's that simple. And especially against running teams. He's not good in the run. And they took advantage of that. And he wasn't the only one. The defensive tackles played bad. It was simple as that. The corners did not help protect the outside. Mosley, Martin, Galton did okay. But neither guy really helped on the outside there. So that was unfortunate also. I do think Batuli is a beast. Looked great. Loved what I saw from him. I thought he looked first-round linebacker in terms of athleticism. He wrapped up all game. He played assignment football, protected his gaps. So I was really impressed with that. I really liked what I saw from him. He definitely should be the starting middle linebacker going forward. And I really do think we have something with Daniel Batuli. I thought Cortez McDowell played well. He did struggle at times. Keeping with his assignments, he did get chop blocked a few times. That's going to happen. But I liked what I saw from him. I thought Nigel Warrior looked a lot better. Took two bad angles. That was really about it. He made a nice play on a deep ball thrown by Marshall. I think it was on third down and forced a punt. That was really good to see from him. And I thought Micah Abernathy played fine. Todd Kelly Jr. played a little bit. Didn't think he looked that good. I was a little disappointed. I thought this would be a good game for him, but he struggled keeping his gaps, maintaining his assignment. A couple times he got outran by Marshall or the A-back or something like that. So that was a struggle there. I'm curious to see how well Jonathan Kongbo continues to play. Great first half from him. And he got pressure on the quarterback multiple times. So I was happy to see that. He forced an incompletion from Marshall. That was big. Marshall had an open guy really late in the fourth quarter. Great job by him. I was impressed with his athleticism and his strength. I was impressed with the fact that he got some pressure on the inside. He forced some plays to the outside. He did what he needed to do. He got tired in the second half. You can kind of tell that. They started playing Kyle Phillips more. But I liked him, and Daryl Taylor's a beast. Daryl Taylor with that huge play, we'll talk about that in a minute. Loved what I saw from him. Definitely think he had a big-time game. I really liked his edge discipline. I thought he did a great job forcing Marshall to make pitches. His guys weren't there to back him up sometimes, but he was there most of the time. I thought he did a good job. I'll take 12 tackles from him there, so I thought he played a nice game. I just think the middle of the defense was terrible. Paul Johnson's too good of a coach to have a weak spot like that. And that's exactly what happened in this game. There was a weak spot, and it didn't work out in Tennessee's favor. So, hopefully, Patulli moves to middle linebacker. This gimmicky offense won't affect the defensive tackles as much. And we'll get a little bit more interior pressure from the defensive line. Let's talk about some of the young players that emerge. We'll do some shout outs here, kind of talk about some of the young guys that looked really good in their Tennessee big game debut. First one's obviously Marquez Callaway. Fantastic game, over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, really stepped up after the Jennings injury, 4 targets and made every one count. He reminds me of Robert Meacham. The ability to take the ball to the house on any play is something Tennessee hasn't had in years. We've had some good wide receivers. I think Justin Hunter was probably the last guy that really did that before his knee injury. And even after the knee injury, he was really good at that. But I think what Callaway brings is that capability. I can't remember the last time, maybe Josh Malone in Florida, But even then, Malone had no one near him, where Callaway beat two guys, outran a defensive back on a five-yard slam. It was beautiful, something you don't see. You can see why the coaches liked him. Don't know why he didn't play more last year, especially in the slot. But I really liked what I saw from him. We got to give him the ball more. More screens, slants, hitches, anything. Just target him 10 times a game. He can take the ball to the house on any play. That's going to be super important for Tennessee with Jennings out. Let's give a shout-out. Daniel Batuli, 23 tackles. I think 10 of those were solo. Liked what I saw from him today. Did a great job in multiple facets of guarding the quarterback, getting pressure up front, playing sideline to sideline. That quickness, the ability to read an offense really showed in this game. I really do believe he's got NFL potential. He should definitely be the starting Mike going forward. And I really think he's got a chance to be all SEC this year. I'm sorry. I just love his game, love what he's about. He had a great first half. He got tired, you can tell. But he definitely should be in every down linebacker in this defense. And then, this isn't a surprise at all, but John Kelly's an absolute stud. Agility and strength, just absolutely top-notch. Reminds me of Travis Stevens. And I kind of was wondering if he can maybe break the record. I think he can. 19 carries, 128 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had more touchdowns this game than Jalen Hurd had all of last year. I think Kelly has a chance to be special. I don't think he's going to run for 128 yards a game every play, although that would be awesome. You're talking about a guy who could, you know, 13 games there, talking about 1,700 yards. That'd be great, although I doubt that's going to happen. But he should definitely, in big games, 20 to 25 carries. I wouldn't use him very much against Indiana State, just my personal opinion. But I really do think he's going to have a monster year, have an all-SEC caliber year. Anybody else, you know, kind of looking at it, I thought I liked what I saw from Ty Chandler and the minimum snaps he played. You could see he has a nice burst, nice agility just on that one run. I liked what I saw from him. Brandon Johnson got open. There was a disconnect between him and Dormady. So that was a positive sign to see. And I was really excited about looking at Ethan Wolf. I thought he had a nice game. I thought, you know, he had that drop on third down. That's inexcusable. I think Dormady threw it a tad too early and a little bit too hard, but you got to catch that. I thought he did a nice job. He had that huge third down conversion where he bowled over two defenders. He made a couple nice plays after the catch. And with Jennings out, what Jennings brings is that physicality over the middle to make plays. Wolf's going to need to do more of that. But I was very happy to see him step up and have a good game. You know, I'd like to see probably a little more catches, 4 for 33. He can do better, and I think as the offense improves, he'll get more of a chance to do that. And Josh Palmer had one catch for 7 yards, drew a pass interference in the end zone. He's going to play more. He's probably going to he might not start. It's probably going to be Johnson, Callaway, and Bird. But you'll see a lot of Palmer with Jennings out. Overall, I like what I see talent-wise. The talent's there. It's just, can the defensive line be better? Trey Smith's an absolute beast. I'll talk about him in a little bit. That's not a surprise. Great player. He's going to be an NFL first-round pick, no doubt. If the defensive line can improve, especially the middle of that defense, I think Tennessee can still have a really solid, maybe not solid, but an average defense, maybe even a little better than average. Hopefully, Tennessee can figure it out at corner. I would just play Golden and Mosley at this point and then figure out nickel. Maybe you can try Buchanan or Osborne there. I don't think Justin Barr needs to play. But right now, Tennessee's really behind on defense. But the offensive talent, even with the loss of Jennings, is really impressive. The offensive line is going to get better now with Drew Richmond at left. Brett Kendrick's a better right tackle. So I like what I saw there. So very good players that are going to get better on this Tennessee team. Just got to find some more consistency. All right, guys. So we got the running through the T done. We're going to go to quick Twitch here. And then we're going to go through some superlatives, pick some stuff real quick here, and let's go ahead and go to quick Twitch. Okay, so let's start with player of the game. There was a couple guys, you know, we mentioned Callaway and Petulli. I think Dormini deserved a shout out, but I'm going to go with Marquez Callaway. Had the big plays, had two touchdowns and two other first down conversions. 40-yard catch in the fourth quarter saved Tennessee, made that drive a lot easier to get a 95-yard drive to tie the game up. He definitely made that huge play. It could have been intercepted, but he high-pointed the ball, brought it down. Great job. Had that nice slant, that hitch play that he took for a first down on a weird throw. I think it slipped out of Dormini's hands, but he high-pointed, boxed the defender out, got the first. And then that first touchdown catch was really impressive. I was glad to see that. I'm super excited to watch him play. He's going to be so much better. Let's go to play of the game. Pretty obvious there. Daryl Taylor stopping the two-point conversion. That was the easy call. I was impressed with him. He beat two blocks on pulling guards. To beat those two blocks and focus on Marshall and trust the guys behind him was really important. He didn't get fooled. He made a solid tackle. Did a great job. That's exactly how you want to play the option. Wish we saw more of that, but Tennessee got the job done there. Also, shout out to Cortez McDowell on that play. Great read. Didn't fall for the inside fake. Didn't fall for the quarterback. He stuck with the line or the running back in motion on the outside so that Marshall couldn't make the pitch. So I was really glad to see that. So on this quick Twitch question, this one's going to take a little bit longer. We're going to give a grade for the coaching. Overall, it's not just Butch Jones, coordinators, position coaches, just a full grade here. So this one's going to take a little longer on this point. I gave him a C-. I thought, let's start with Larry Scott. I thought Scott called a much better second half, found a rhythm with Dormini. Kelly's a big-time running back. We need to get him the ball more. Is in a game like this, Kelly needs 25 to 30 carries and probably 5 receptions. I think he had 5 tonight or Monday night, but got to do a better job getting him the ball, especially in the first half. Thought there were a couple questionable decisions. I didn't really like the decision to throw it 3 times after we got the ball back on the incomplete pass from Jordan. Got the ball back, 7 minutes, need to score, 3 straight passes. Nothing to Kelly. You have 7 minutes. You got pretty decent field position. I think it was at about the 30, 35. Get the ball to Kelly. Don't screw around. Get him the ball. Let him do his thing. Your offensive line was starting to dominate a little bit. That was bad, inexperienced play calling. Didn't mind the first play. That little rollout, Brandon Johnson, 4 yards, perfectly fine. Got to do a better job getting Kelly the ball in situations like this where you have plenty of time and you need to score. Get the ball to your best player. I thought the red zone play calling, fantastic. Called a read option, got 7 yards on first down. Georgia Tech didn't expect that. Really liked that there. I thought he realized what the mistake. Get the ball to Kelly, let him do his thing, and that's what he did. Kelly was great. Trey Smith and Jack Jones and Jayshon Robinson, that interior, started to dominate, get a good push. Scott realized that. Got Kelly the ball, and Tennessee was able to score those last 3 possessions. So nice job there by Larry Scott to adjust. I'm going to give him a little bit of a curve. It's his first game coordinating. I thought, considering everything, he did a good job. Going to Bob Shoop, I did not like what Bob Shoop did, to be kind of blunt. Never mixed it up. Same defense, 4-3, 7 guys in the box. 2 deep, 1 deep safety, 1 in the middle. Defensive ends showed the same look with the stand-up position. No slants, no slanting of the defense, really no blitz. Les Miles criticized that decision on Twitter, saying there was not any stunting, no blitzes, no mixing up of the looks. He thought that was not a good idea against Georgia Tech, and I agree with him. I thought it was too basic of a game plan. I understand that Georgia Tech's a really tough team to defend. I know you don't want to get cut blocked. I know it's about playing your assignment, not falling for the fakes and the motions and everything like that. But at the same time, you have to understand what you're working with. You've got to understand the middle of your defense is your weak point, and Paul Johnson's going to find a way to exploit that. Show different looks. Show different blitzes. Overload one side every once in a while. See if you can get some backside pressure. Play nine guys in the box a couple times. It was just too basic, and Paul Johnson picked it apart. And the first half, the first quarter, it was a good game plan. Play your guys off the line a little bit. They're going to try and cut block. It took away the cut blocking, and Georgia Tech struggled. You let Jumper and Betulli and McDowell pick up the trash. They figured that out. They did a lot more quarterback inside runs. They started getting a push there. Instead of going for the legs, they went high, got a one-yard push to push the defenders back, which is why our defensive tackles struggled a little bit. It's just something that I didn't like. There was nothing exotic. There was nothing different. It was all basic 4-3. I don't like that. I want to see you mix it up, especially in the second half after Georgia Tech had found the success. I get it. It's a goofy-ass offense. It's a cheap-ass offense. Takes out the knees. They got away with cut blocks and holding all night. Cut blocking should be banned from football, period. It should be done with, but you've got to deal with the cards that you're dealt. And Bob Shoop, I don't think, did the job that needed to be done. It's the first game against a gimmicky-ass offense. We'll see how it goes. But I wasn't encouraged by this performance. Let's just say it that way. All right, let's talk about Butch Jones. Thought he had a bad night with clock management. We'll start in the first half. It was a first down, first or second down. Clock's running. You're trying to get a quick score. Got two timeouts. Kelly got about 7 yards. Second three, I believe it was. Third and three, something to that extent. You've got two timeouts, 40 seconds. Doesn't get out of bounds. You could take a timeout. And he didn't. Wasted 20 seconds and incomplete pass on third down. And it really hurt. I mean, to be honest there, it got you 17 seconds. You still had two timeouts there. I don't understand the thinking there to force that third down. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know exactly what the idea was. You know, in college, you have the advantage to spike it on a first down. That's what I didn't really get. It just felt like Tennessee panicked a little bit. They got a first down. It was on first down. Dormini passed Kelly for 8. And it was then another pass. It was a fake. It was that screen play. I had to look up the play-by-play. I apologize. It was that screen play that didn't work. Gave you 17 seconds. Tyler Bird dropped a pass. And then Dormini threw that ball to Wolf. That was a little too hard. Wolf didn't catch it. Call your timeout. Get you set. You would have had about 35 seconds to complete that play. 30 seconds to complete that play there. And save that 15 seconds, get you a good play. You were close to field goal range, too. You didn't have to go 40 yards or anything like that. That's bad clock management by Butch Jones. And then let's talk about that timeout where Georgia Tech wasn't going to get a playoff. I don't know what Butch was thinking. I saw on Twitter the defense was Betulli checked himself out because he was tired, and Dylan Bates came in. If you see where Butch called the timeout, you do see Jumper, Bates, and McDowell. But there's 5 seconds on the play clock and they're not under center. Make them call the timeout. Or take your chances with them screwing up the play. I didn't get that. It's the Derek Dooley thing in LSU where LSU subbed and didn't know what they were doing. And Dooley subbed and it screwed everything up. So I don't know exactly what Butch Jones was thinking there, but you can't have that. You've got to manage the clock better. Make Georgia Tech take that timeout because it's also potentially going to be a 10-second runoff. So I don't know what the thinking was there. That's just bad clock management. Colton Jumper played too much. It's whatever. Not going to fix it most likely. So He should have gone with Batuli at middle linebacker more and played McDowell and maybe Bates or Elliott Berry, one of those two guys. Looking at wideouts, didn't like what I saw from the first half with the drops, six drops. That was a problem in the spring. That's got to be corrected. That cannot happen. Good positives, though. Only two penalties. No turnovers. No sacks. I will say this. Tennessee's telegraphing their screens too much. They're having Kelly like creep up when the play starts and then bolt right. It's telling the linebackers it's a screen. So they need to tell him to stay put or show something or go a different way so that the screen's not telegraphed. Georgia Tech picked up on that in the second half. So Tennessee needs to fix that. The tackling actually wasn't terrible except on Taquan Marshall, I thought. But it's going to have to get better, obviously. So I think the next thing we'll go with here is let's just talk about some injuries, mostly Juwan Jennings' impact on losing him and the impact on the season that we'll have. So we know what Juwan Jennings means to this team. Physical, sets the tone, emotional leader, not afraid of anybody, not afraid of any moment. Losing him just from that perspective, the non-football reasons, is a huge deal. You lose a veteran, a leader, your most experienced playmaker. It's a big loss. On the field, big loss also. He's a guy you can trust to go over the middle, make big plays. He's a great red zone threat. He's a guy who can convert on third down. He can take the top off of defense. We've seen that multiple times in his career. So that's a big loss there. In terms of that, it's disappointing too because he was going to have a big year. And just knowing what he means to this program and to this team, losing him is a big deal. And it just, I love watching him play. So that sucks also. And so Juwan's probably going to be out for the year with a dislocated wrist. Looks like he'll need surgery. Butch didn't confirm that today, but that looks to be the case. So what he means to this team, I don't know if that can be measured. We know Tennessee's got some talent at wideout. Josh Palmer, we saw it with Marquez Callaway Monday night. Tyler Byrd can make plays. He's got to be more consistent. Brandon Johnson can get open. For some reason, Johnson and Dormy had disconnect. Johnson got open. He had three catches, but he could have had seven or eight. It just, they felt a little off. Hopefully that improves. They improve their chemistry. But kind of looking to see, you know, who's going to step up. We know Callaway has that potential, obviously. I think Brandon Johnson's going to have to step up. I think he's a guy who can get open consistently in this league. I think he can make plays. He can be a tough first down getter when you need it on third and eight. Just find that rhythm with Dormady. If he can find that rhythm with QD, I like his chances to have a good year. We know he's going to have to step up. And also, I think I'm going to call out Tyler Byrd. He did not play well. And he even got benched for Latrell Williams at times. He had some tough plays that QD kind of set him up on bad, threw behind him a couple times. But he's got to make those. He's a good enough player. That first quarter drop he had that killed that Tennessee drive was huge. Tennessee had a little bit of rhythm, and that drop pass really took the air out of the offense on that drive. He had a clear first down. He had, if he could have stayed on his feet, he could have had a big play. That's got to be made. And he's kind of the guy now in terms of the leadership. So he needs to step up, make plays in the slot, and kind of be that tough third down pass catcher when Tennessee needs it. I also think a guy who I didn't expect much of after the injury, and I really didn't expect much coming into the summer anyways, Josh Smith. He's your most experienced guy, and he's had inconsistencies. He's shown he can get open at this level. You know, he's made some big plays. The Georgia game, caught a touchdown against Alabama in 2015, had a nice touchdown Oklahoma in 14, got wide open on a touchdown against Kentucky last year. He can get open. He can catch the ball. But we know he's a good blocker too. But he's going to have to show more consistency. he needs to be a senior leader. I wouldn't play him against Indiana State, but he needs to be out there for Florida if he can, because we're going to need him. We're going to need his leadership, his veteran presence out there. The big thing with Jennings, the one final thing here, is I'm really concerned about third down. Now, Tennessee was 5 of 12, which is pretty decent considering the drop passes from Ethan Wolf and everything. But we need a guy who's going to get the ball on third down, third and 6, third and 8, third and 4, that you can trust to make a big play. I really hope Ethan Wolf's ready to take that step. Like I said, other than that drop play, drop pass on that 4th and 2, I thought Wolf had a pretty solid game. He needs to be a threat over the middle, be physical, make big plays, and I really think Tennessee can minimize the loss of Jennings. You're not going to replace Juwan Jennings. This is not going to happen. But you're going to have the guys step up. Well wishes to Juwan. Love watching him play. Hope he gets healthy. I think he'll probably come back next year. I don't think he's an NFL guy yet, but I hope he can get healthy. Wish him well wishes in his recovery. And, you know, maybe hopefully he can come back in November or something if everything breaks right. That'd be great. If not, then, you know, I look forward to watching him next year. So hopefully, Juwan, you can get healthy here. And hope rehab goes well for you. Let's go through the injury report. Kind of comment on what Butch Jones had for us today. Said Kendall Vickers, Josh Smith, Evan Berry, and if I'm not mistaken, Shy Tuttle were all questionable for Indiana State. Not really anybody else I heard. I might have missed somebody, but that seems to be the case there. Drew Richmond back from suspension. He'll be the starting left tackle. Excited to see what Drew can do this year. I think he's going to have a nice year, and I think Kendrick's better at right tackle than left tackle, so I think that will strengthen the offensive line. If I'm Butch, I don't play anyone that's questionable this week. Short week, division FCS opponent in Indiana State. No need to play anybody that's dealing with injuries. Give Vickers the week off. Get Josh Smith the week off. Shy Tuttle, you know, if you want to play him 10 plays just to get the conditioning, I think that's okay. But I wouldn't really play anybody of significant value that has been dealing with injuries. Get some young guys some playing time. Thinking of Jordan Murphy, Will Ignat, Sean Schamberger, play those guys, get him some looks. DeAndre Johnson, defensive end, get those guys some looks. Let's get some guys healthy, kind of hopefully rest everyone up and kind of see what we can do here and get everyone prepared for Florida. I think Vickers just has a little bit of a knee bruise would be my guess. One of those cut blocks, it wasn't a direct hit from the cut block, but someone cut blocked McKenzie twisted. Vickers' leg got caught up, got hurt there. Not sure what happened with Evan Berry. That was kind of odd. He does play special teams, so maybe there's something I missed. Hopefully he's okay. I mean, Butch said he's questionable, so we'll see how that is. And, you know, Josh Smith with the strained shoulder, no need to play him. He doesn't really need the reps. He's a veteran, so I'd save him for Florida. Anything else injury-wise, I think, would anybody else, just don't play him. That's simple. It's Indiana State. Get some of the freshmen you plan on playing some reps and go from there. I would air it out a little bit, and we'll talk about that in a second, to those wideouts. But John Kelly should only be getting about 10 to carries, maybe 15 at the max. Keep him fresh. Keep him healthy. So let's move on here. Let's talk a little bit about what I want from the Indiana State game.
Yes, no, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
So I didn't do much Indiana State prep. They're an FCS team. Tennessee should out-talent them and win this game by 30 points easy. So excuse my lazy podcasting, but I didn't do much Indiana State review. I know they run kind of an option offense, a little bit like the spread option. They have a mobile quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how Tennessee does with that, especially after the Monday night's game. I think the thing I want to see most out of this game is I really want to see the passing game develop a consistent rhythm. the passing game's going to have to develop some sort of rhythm as the season goes along. Like I said, I like what I saw from Dormady. Love what I saw from Callaway. Really like even what I saw from Brandon Johnson, even though it was an inconsistent game. So what Tennessee needs to do is get those guys more involved. The first half, I'm probably throwing 25 times with Dormady. Find a rhythm offensively in the passing game. Get Richmond comfortable on the offensive line. And kind of see if you can develop some confidence going into Florida week next week here. I like what the game plan was for Georgia Tech in terms of getting Dormady into a rhythm, getting him comfortable. But I thought they went to the well a little too much. So what I would do here is let him get some bullets out there, maybe hit a couple deep balls, just try and find a rhythm, see what works, see what wide receiver combinations work, find a comfort level for him on third down, continue the red zone success, and Tennessee should be fine in this game to do that. This type of game where you can let John Kelly rest on the side a little bit, get Ty Chandler and Carlin Fils and me some work, and let Dormady kind of do his thing. I also think Garantano should play in this game. Obviously, there was some controversy around him surrounding his perceived attitude compared to what Dormady was showing on the sidelines, not being around the quarterback coaches, not being around kind of the offense at all, being by himself. So it was a little bit of controversy. Overall, I'm not going to worry about it. He's 19 years old. Sometimes 19-year-olds don't handle adversity well. I was 19 years old about 5 years ago, and there were plenty of times I screwed up and acted like an idiot. That's going to happen. The key, getting him prepared, understanding that he's one snap away, focusing on the task at hand, and I think getting him some playing time will help that. I was surprised that Butch didn't even go to him once. Nothing, not even a third and short, not even a first and 10 to run an option, nothing at all. That really surprised me. I think it was more just to show and establish Dormady as the starter, more so than anything Garantano did. But I was really interested in that. Maybe Butch is saving that. Maybe that's something he saves for Florida. Either way, I think it's a waste of Garantano's ability to just sit him on the bench and let Dormady have every snap. I don't think that's necessarily a great idea. I think it's a little bit of a waste of Garantano's legs because we know he's mobile. So I would like to see him play a little bit more than in a big game situation, but definitely would like to see him get reps against Indiana State. I also want to see how Daniel Petulli does at the Mike linebacker position. I think he's going to take over. That's what Butch implied in the press conference today. So I'm really hoping to see Petulli at middle linebacker, see how he does, and I want to see a pass rush. You know, Georgia Tech threw 10 times, and they usually max protect. Although Combo got to the quarterback multiple times, he didn't get a sack, but he really put some pressure on Taquan Marshall in passing plays. So hopefully we continue to see that from Combo. Another thing I want to see is I want to see Rashawn Golden on the outside. I think Golden and Mosley are your two best options on the outside, and then we figure out nickel, whether it's Baylen Buchanan, Marquell Osborne, maybe slide Abernathy back to nickel and put Kelly at safety. One of those options. I don't think Justin Martin's the answer. I don't think he should be playing right now. He really struggled against Georgia Tech. Probably time for him to kind of grab a seat on the bench and be a backup, be a special teams player. He even had a horrible penalty. That 15-yard roughing the kicker, that's just stupid. Flat out dumb. Can't have things like that. So let's go with Golden on the outside, Mosley on the outside. We'll figure out nickel later. I think the last thing I want to talk about here with the Indiana State game is I just want to see everyone healthy, take care of them in the first half. You know, rest John Kelly, get Dormady into a rhythm, find another wideout, and go from there. You know, maybe try some young guys on defense, see if they can help you out at all. But that's really what I want to see at this point in the NC State game. Like I said, it's an FCS opponent. There's really no point in trying anything crazy, playing any guys who may be questionable. Time to take a breather, relax, get ready for Florida. Hopefully an easy Vols win for Indiana State. Should be. That's what I'm predicting. And then we can go work on Florida. So, got about 15 minutes left here. I'm making hella good time. I think Daniel's the issue when it comes to time management here. I'm sure you guys are pretty sick of my voice here. So, we're going to go about 15 minutes here. We're going to wrap up here with some final thoughts. Probably going to do a little more rambling than I've done here. But we're just going to have final thoughts and we're going to go from there. So, my first final thought here, and I wrote this down on my outline, a win is a win is a win is a win is a win. Tennessee won against a Power 5 team in what essentially was a road game in Atlanta. I will take it. It was ugly. It was grueling. It was a little unnerving. Screw that option offense. I hate watching that thing. It's just daunting and boring. Screw that. And Paul Johnson, I'd like to see him coach an offense where it wasn't dirty cut blocking. Nevertheless, Tennessee won. It wasn't an easy first game at all. This was going to be tough. And I predicted a 14-point win. Obviously, I was wrong. I thought Tennessee's defense would play better, and they didn't. The offense struggled. But Butch Jones's team came out. They made the proper adjustments to win, and they made the game-winning play to put away Georgia Tech. That's the big thing here. They made a clutch play like they did multiple times last year and got the job done. This was a very tough emotional game. Georgia Tech can take the life out of you. And Tennessee was down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter with a new starting quarterback, your best wide receiver out, your starting left tackle suspended. This could have been a disaster. And instead, Marquez Callaway made a big play. Rashawn Golden made a big play. And then John Kelly finished the deal. And it's a win. I know what Vol Nation's doing. I can see your threads here. I'm looking at VolNation.com right now. And I can kind of see a couple negative threads right there. Okay? And I know that's going to happen. It is what it is. But Tennessee won. That's what matters. They got the job done against a Power 5 team, and they're 1-0. They have to improve. There's no doubt about it. They have to do a better job defensively. They have to find more consistency in the passing game. Their offensive line needs to be dominant more, like they showed in the fourth quarter and in overtime. But there were positives. I liked what I saw from a lot of things. Love Marquez Callaway. Love John Kelly. Like Quentin Dormady's calm and cool, collected demeanor. I like Daryl Taylor. I like Daniel Petulli. I loved what I saw from a emotional standpoint for this team. They didn't get down. They focused and won the game. They made some adjustments offensively, got the job done. They made 2 big turnovers. Those were not dropped snaps, bad pitches, anything like that. Those were forced fumbles, and Tennessee jumped on them. That's winning football. The team that makes the fewest mistakes will win the game. It's one of General Nealon's maxims. Tennessee had 2 penalties and 0 turnovers. Georgia Tech had 2 turnovers, 4 penalties. That was the difference. Georgia Tech had a 15-yard cut blocking penalty that was called on them, killed their drive, and got no points from that. Tennessee had 1 offsides in the red zone, and they still scored a touchdown. They had 14 points off 2 turnovers. That's perfect. 5 of 5 in the red zone. 5 of 12 on third down. That is what can lead to winning football. Yeah, the defense was bad. Okay, the middle of the defense did not play well. There's no other way to say it. But offensively, they looked good. Dormady looks like a real threat at quarterback. And Tennessee found their next star in Marquez Callaway. Trey Smith was the real deal. He's a stud right guard, stud offensive lineman, first round NFL pick if he stays healthy. There's and I apologize, someone posted 45 seconds of film on Twitter, somebody who studies film on Twitter who's got a legitimate name, just showed how dominant he was. He dominated, didn't tire. Tennessee has a legit star at offensive lineman, and Cade Mays is right behind him. Drew Richmond's still a sophomore. Jack Jones had a bad first quarter and got a lot better. Jayshon Robertson looked good at center. I like this offensive line. They weren't great. Marcus Tatum really had a bad first quarter. But after that, they looked pretty solid. Dorme had time to throw. Go watch the play on the 40-yard pass to Callaway. Clean pocket. Nobody around Dormady. I loved seeing that. That's great. And I think this offensive line is going to get better and better. More experience with Trey Smith. Drew Richmond at left tackle. Jack Jones will get more comfortable. I like what I saw from the Tennessee offensive line. Six drop catches. Talked about it earlier. Can't happen. That needs to get cleaned up. Kevin Beard's got to figure out why we're having those. And really, if you think about it, we're going to have most likely three sophomore starters, a freshman playing in Jordan Murphy, two freshmen with Josh Palmer. Josh Smith will play. He's a redshirt senior, but he's been injured his whole career. It's a young group. Ethan Wolf has got to step up, make plays, be an NFL tight end. I think he can. I liked his game. If he can do that and be the third-round target, this offense will continue to roll, even with the Jennings injury. It's a bummer that Juwan Jennings got hurt, but I think Tennessee is going to be okay. They just got to get better on defense. I've got about 8 minutes here, so I'm going to go quickly around the NCAA here because I want to talk about one game in particular. The game I want to talk about, UCLA and Texas A&M on Sunday night. So, had some friends over. I went to my parents for a cookout on Sunday night. Bruce Pearl was not there. So, we went there and was watching some football. And we were watching a very competitive, very fun West Virginia-Virginia Tech game. A lot of big plays, a lot of athletes. Really close game. And we kind of slightly flipped back and forth between Texas A&M and UCLA, and it was 24-7, got to like 31-10, and then it was up to 44-10, and I stopped watching and focused solely on West Virginia and Virginia Tech. So here I am watching West Virginia and Virginia Tech, and it's a commercial, and I flip to Fox to see UCLA Texas A&M, just to see how it's going. And Texas A&M misses a field goal in a 44-31 game with about 7.5 minutes. I look at my brother, and I said, that's plenty of time. 7.5 minutes. He kind of looked at me and goes, yeah, Josh Rosen's got an arm. I said, yeah, it'll be interesting. So we kind of, literally, I don't know how it happened, but it synced up perfectly. The Virginia game would run a play. I'd switch back to Texas A&M UCLA, they'd run a play, and I switched back, and it synced perfectly. I don't know how, but it did. It was fantastic. Josh Rosen makes some crazy plays. They end up scoring. Then they stop Texas A&M because Kevin Sumlin, for some stupid reason, continued to throw the ball late in the game, and it's a game. And I'm sitting here thinking, if Kevin Sumlin blows this, he's going to get Lane Kiffin, and he's not going to leave the tarmac. Well, UCLA gets the ball. They drive down. Rosen is playing great. They're running the same play. They're running a little tight end cross that I guess Texas A&M didn't think cover two would fix or anything. And they get a first down on a 4th-and-6 on a risky-ass play. throwing behind the line of scrimmage to the running back in the flat after John Chavis decides to send an all-out seven-man blitz. And it works. He gets out of bounds, and Texas A&M, and this is going on Sunday's glorious coaching decision of the week, doesn't realize the clock has stopped, falls for the fake spike, over the top, whoosh, touchdown. That's probably one of the worst performances by an SEC team in 10, 15, 20 years. I don't know what's going to happen to Kevin Sumlin in terms of when it's going to happen, but the chances are he's going to get fired. Is Texas A&M going to be a good job? Maybe. I think it's got a lot of positives. I think it has some negatives. Did Josh Rosen save Jim Moore's job? Yeah, I bet your ass he did. I think Josh Rosen proved that he's really good. He's a guy I've really enjoyed watching. I think he's got big-time potential NFL player. I really like his game. Colin Cowherd kind of made a comparison to Matt Ryan. I kind of see that. I think that's a pretty solid comparison. And I don't think UCLA is going to be a player, but it was a great game. There were some good games. Even the Florida State-Alabama game, which score-wise wasn't competitive, was super entertaining. And I'll talk about that in a second. But I think what college football needs to do, watching that Tennessee-Georgia Tech, West Virginia, Virginia Tech, and UCLA-Texas A&M, all three fantastic football games, double overtime, final play game, 34-point comeback. I think college football needs to encourage these schools to have huge first weeks. Set up five top 25 matchups. Spread them out throughout the weekend. I think it should be a celebration. It's a three-day weekend. Football's back for the first time in 8 months. Make it a big deal. Don't just throw them on at the same time on Sunday. Don't throw just one game on Labor Day. Give me a 2:30 game on Monday. Give me a 12, 4, and 8 o'clock game Sunday. Three top 25 matchups on Sunday. Thursday night, give me an Ohio State-Indiana in conference game. I really enjoyed that. Give me another one. Give me something at 7, and give me a Pac-12 game. I think college football in the NCAA needs to expand this weekend a little bit, watching all these crazy finishes. I loved it. I thought it was great. It can improve, though. Make it a five-day extravaganza. Give me games 24/7, in this case, through the 5 days. I want college football on all the time. I really enjoy it. College basketball, and since I've joined the workforce as an American, I haven't been able really to do it, but college basketball runs their 24 hours in November, which is super fun. Hawaii, get to watch Alaska schools, things like that. I think college football could kind of do that the weekend. Games, big games, Thursday, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Give me a big game each day. Give me multiple big games on Sunday. Give me a couple in-conference games Thursday and Friday night. Let's make it fun. Make it a full weekend. I would really like that idea. I think that'd be great for college football. Final around the NCAA point. Feels horrible for DeAndre Francois. Kind of a brutal injury. It looked bad when it happened. I love Francois. It's been noted multiple times on this podcast. I think he's a great player. I think Florida State's in big trouble. I think this becomes a Clemson-Miami-Virginia Tech battle for the conference. DeAndre, hope he gets better. Love his game. Love his toughness. Just brutal to watch. Alabama played great. It wasn't a dirty play. Just one of those freak things that happens. Kind of like what happened to Jennings. Just a freak thing. And so my best well wishes to DeAndre Francois. Hope he gets better. And hopefully Florida State can get in some sort of groove and can play better than they showed on Saturday night. Well, guys, this was fun. It was a lot more fun than I thought. A little bit difficult, but I think this was a successful episode here without Daniel. He's a way better host than I am. I know that. I missed doing the podcast within the day, but I felt like I still wanted to get something out. This was too big of a game to not have anything. So I recorded this Wednesday night. I'm going to try and get this out Thursday morning for you guys. I appreciate if you listen through, if you could stand my voice for a whole hour. Props to you. Big props. I can hear myself talk in my headphones, and I'm just like, man, when will this guy shut the hell up? Good Lord. So, big props to you guys for listening. Appreciate it. We had a lot of interaction with the listens. A lot of people listened. Really appreciate it, guys. And you guys are awesome. And I appreciate you guys listening to me here. We're going to do something Sunday. We're going to Florida prep like crazy on Sunday. We're going to do a big dive into it. And then we'll pick some more games. We'll do our NCAA review. I'm going to watch my Lions play Sunday. Hopefully my Lions can win me a playoff game for the first time in my lifetime. Probably not, but a man can dream. So I'll be looking forward to that. More football Saturday and Sundays, man. Football is awesome. Saturdays are for the boys, as Barstool Sports like to say. So, guys, we'll look at you Sunday. Thanks for listening, and y'all, and have a great week, and have a safe weekend.